Now grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to share with you, as you heard the Bible readings for today, there sometimes you listen to Bible readings for the Sunday and you think, how did they put those together? But today, they certainly do fit together well. And I found another passage in the Old Testament that also seems to tie all of those together. And it's from Deuteronomy chapter 10. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. So it says something about God's family and God's way of reaching out to all people. And it also calls each of us as part of that family to reach out and to share that love with the stranger, with those who are strangers among us, as well as all who are brothers and sisters. One thing that touched me this week about the Syrophoenician woman in the gospel is that she is from what we now know as Syria. And this week has troubled me so deeply with the pictures and the stories of people from Syria who are trying to flee oppression and to find a safe haven and home in Germany. She's not necessarily a refugee. We don't know that for sure. A refugee is someone who flees oppression. But she reminds me that maybe she represents all of those refugees. All of us, and including me, who are looking to Jesus for healing and hope in a world that does not necessarily welcome everyone, in a world that seems to push other people away, in a world that seeks to narrow our understanding all the time of what the expanse of God's kingdom really is. It seeks to find ways in which we can put some people out and call other people in. And so, as I look at this text, it speaks to me of God's kingdom and how God welcomes all people. And so she's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. And she comes to find Jesus and she bows down at his feet. She's down on the ground. And she pleads for the healing of her daughter. And I could see that in terms of how refugees are pleading for themselves, but also for their children. I wonder if she could represent all of those. I wonder if she could represent me and you. Each of us, as we go back into our history, into our stories, probably each of us at some point could find a place where we were refugees, where we were immigrants, where we came looking for a new home. She is seeking that in Jesus. But Jesus says something that is totally confusing. He says, "Not just yet, lady. wait. The children get fed first. And if there's anything left over, then the dogs get it. What? Jesus doesn't say that to anyone else in all of his ministry, it doesn't seem. Why does he choose to be so upset with this woman? Is it because she found him? Because he was looking for a way to be separated from human contact altogether. He didn't want to be found at all, but she found him. She found where he was. Is he upset by that? Or does he maybe, at this point, even in his own understanding, believe that the kingdom of God is for the Jews and not for the Gentiles? We're not exactly sure what Jesus' response means here. But she responds, "Yes, Master, but don't the dogs under the table eat what the children drop?" Maybe she's saying, "All I'm asking of you, Jesus, is a few crumbs, one or two. And not for me, but for my daughter." And now it seems as though Jesus begins to grasp it. What is this kingdom about? That it includes everyone. That it includes Jew and Gentile. That God, in God's kingdom, God has already said yes to this Syrophoenician woman on behalf of her daughter. God has already said yes to you and to me. The truth of the kingdom may be even something that Jesus didn't fully grasp even at this time. So what is this passage telling us about faith? Could it be that this woman's persistence has benefited not only her daughter, not only herself, but also all of God's people, all of those who are Gentiles as well? Jesus is now opening up the kingdom to everyone, and Jesus goes to the Decapolis, which is a place which is populated mostly by Gentiles. And he goes there and he heals this man who is deaf and unable to speak clearly, and he gives him speech. Could it be that faith is what holds on to Jesus, even at a time when it seems as though he's rejecting us? And now the woman goes home after Jesus has said, "Your daughter is healed." She goes home believing, and maybe that's another part of faith. She goes home and believing that what Jesus says is real, that her daughter is well. And so could it be that faith is partly also about boldly holding on and trusting Christ, holding God to his promise that we are his children and that he does not forsake us? God provides enough for all. Everyone is welcome. But it seems to me that if we continue to buy into a vision of scarcity, that there is not enough for everyone else, especially me, if we take care of the refugees, if we take care of those people who are in need of our society, if we are there for those who are the strangers among us, if we continue to believe that word of scarcity, then we are destined for more and more violence and death in our world. God is a God of abundance. And God's promise is that there is enough for all. That all people are included in God's expansive kingdom. But if we continue to trust in ourselves and in this message and vision of scarcity that more and more people are propounding in our world, then we are lost, and our whole world is lost. Jesus brings healing to this woman and to her daughter. Jesus brings healing to the man who is deaf and is unable to speak clearly. Jesus also opens his vision of the kingdom to include you and me, to bring us that healing love and forgiveness that touches our lives and makes us whole. He invites us again to the table again today. We have a seat at the table with God, not under the table. And he gives us not just crumbs, but he gives us the whole loaf of Jesus, who is the bread of life, the promise of love and forgiveness and healing. We are healed and sent out to open the ears and the eyes of all of those in our neighborhood, in our congregation, in our world, who are continuing to narrow the vision of how far God's loving arms can be expanded. So we're still learning how expansive God's kingdom really is. Because each of us have those places in our hearts that seem to want to narrow God's kingdom more and more. But he keeps saying to us, you know, it's open to the refugees, to the strangers, to the gay and lesbian and transgendered, to also include everyone in that kingdom. There is healing and love enough for all. There is bread and food enough for all. And we are not lost, but we are found. And God so loves you and me and the whole world that there is enough for everyone. There's a hymn verse that I remember singing. And it goes like this. Jesus calls us in, sends us out, bearing fruit in a world of doubt, gives us love to tell, bread to share, God, Emmanuel, everywhere. Jesus lives again. Earth can breathe again. Pass the word around. Loves abound. There is a Hebrew word, dayenu, which means there is enough. Basically the same as loaves abound. And we are filled with God's grace to believe that God provides enough. Loaves abound, dayenu. So to the Syrophoenician mother and her daughter, dayenu. To the man healed and able to speak plainly, dayenu. To refugees and immigrants looking for a safe place to live and thrive, dayenu. In the midst of disease, in ourselves and our loved ones, dayenu. As we pray for an end to violence and death in our city, dayenu. As we grow in trusting God's abundance amidst fears of scarcity, dayenu. As we pray for and seek meaningful jobs for all people in the community, dayenu. As we pray for help for the hungry and those who struggle to survive, dayenu. For all who are strangers among us, dayenu. Dayenu. Loves abound, loaves abound. There is enough by God's grace. Amen.